Was it something we said?
Are you talking to me?
Do you have a comment to make?
Are you talking to me?
Or a bone to pick with us? Why not send us an email to feedback@midwestpeaceprocess.com or join our forum at forum.midwestpeaceprocess.com, or you can just leave us a comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/midwestpeace, or follow us on Twitter @midwestpeace. So that's how to contact us. Now let's give you something to contact us about. This week, we refrain from building anything as we wait for somebody else to make it happen. Welcome to the Midwest Peace Process.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I have the pleasure to present to you now.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I have the pleasure to present to you
the Midwest Peace Process.
The world is very different now.
The Midwest Peace
to remind
Process.
America of the fierce urgency of now. 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 Now.
Welcome to episode 36. Now. The kids call it the process. Today is July 19th, 2012. I'm Jerry.
I'm Jeremy.
And this is Rob.
How's everybody doing this week?
It's hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hot and dry. Midwest is just baking and there's no end in sight.
I like my seasons, but I feel like I'm kind of sick of summer already. We're just at July.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad.
I'm with you there.
So, but hey, it's not Syria, right? I mean, look at us complaining. Oh, my AC's really working overtime.
That's right. First world problems.
Yes.
My pool is too warm to use.
It's not even refreshing anymore.
Yeah, it's not.
So before we get started, once again, I want to give a shout out to Less Crappy, More Happy, our favorite charity that supports our troops overseas. I want to encourage everybody to check them out on Facebook. Maybe send them a donation. Help them out with that. This week, we are going to cover some current events, some things that are going on in the news that we haven't talked about. And we're going to lead things off with a rather interesting video that broke Friday, so right after we recorded last week's episode. This is a video of President Obama giving a speech in Roanoke, Virginia. And I'm actually sort of surprised, I guess, that this hasn't made a bigger splash in the news over the last several days.
Well, we know why it hasn't.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you sent us the link, I made the comment that this was going to be a test of the liberal media theory. And I have to say it's true, because I have not seen this reported on anywhere other than the traditional conservative sources of news like Fox and
Fox. Fox and Fox.
Was it reported on Fox? I haven't been paying attention to my Fox News friends.
Yeah, I mean, it was the next day, it was headlines like Obama declares war on small business.
Well, he didn't quite do that, did he?
No, not.
Well, go ahead and describe for our listeners what the...
Yeah, and I've got a link in the show notes, and I'll probably include the audio here at the end of the show. But he says quite a few things, and I think he was kind of channeling Elizabeth Warren a little bit when he was talking about this, because I know what point he was trying to make, which is that people who are successful running businesses or starting businesses, you know, being entrepreneurial and, trying to increase the prosperity of America, those people, they don't do it alone. You know, they always have this sort of support structure or infrastructure or whatever that's provided by the country we all live in, right? So you get your goods to market in trucks that drive on roads that the government built. You have an educated workforce that presumably came out of government-provided schools. you know, so that's the Elizabeth Warren argument, and we've talked about that on the show in past episodes. But it seemed like Obama was trying to distill that down even more, you know, and so the comments he made were even more provocative. It was basically, look, if you've built a business, you didn't build that yourself, you know, somebody else made that happen. Those were his exact words. And, you know, I'm not sure what crowd he was talking to, but that was fairly well received by by the audience. And
what a bunch of I don't know if you want to
go ahead.
Finish what you're saying, but here's one reason I have such issues with that. And if you've ever tried to do anything with the government, get a permit for something on your house, it's a huge pain. They don't make things easy. It's not like somebody's out there greasing the skids. Oh, you want to do this? Oh, let me help you. I'll work overtime to make sure this happens for you. It's not like that.
No. No.
That's why if somebody is successful, it's because they've either found something that is such a great niche that it's just wildly popular, and so it does quickly gather steam, or they just worked themselves to the bone.
Right. They were willing to push through all the red tape and come out the other side victorious.
And to tell somebody who's done that, well, we greased it for you. That is, I can't even find the words that Jerry will let me say on this podcast.
Here's the
arrogance.
And here's the thing. I mean, if you peel this onion a little bit and start digging into it, here's the thing that kind of irritates me, especially when it comes to, you know, the whole schooling thing, right? Because you want to make the case that government school educates the population and, you know, makes it possible for the entrepreneur to hire people who are skilled at whatever it is they need done, right? And so, okay, let's suppose for the sake of argument that that's true. I know it's not, but let's say it is. Let's say the schools are actually doing a good job of, you know, providing this educated workforce, skilled workforce. All right, so they do. Big deal. And then what? You're going to hold everybody accountable then for the fact that they hired these skilled employees. You know, it's like, at what point do you stop paying for school, right?
Right.
I've already paid my taxes, and you use the taxes to run the school, okay? Now I go off and start a business, and I hire people who were educated in that school system, and now you're saying, oh, well, you know, you still owe us for those educated workers that made you who you are. It's like, wait a minute, I already paid for school. I paid for my own school. I paid for other people's school. And now you're saying I still owe?
And the other thing is, I don't know how much, really, the public schools are creating a skilled workforce.
Hmm.
Just going through 12 years of public school, you don't come out with a skill.
True. You know, unless being an automaton is a skill.
Well, in our workforce, it is.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so do you quibble with the thought, or do you really think that he believes that nobody who's made a business has really built that? I mean, isn't this a little bit, didn't he just sort of go too far in his rhetoric with a friendly crowd, you know, and kind of stepped on himself a little bit?
Perhaps, or maybe he just let his guard down and showed his true colors.
Oh,
you're telling me, all right, when his stance on gay marriage came out, and it was this such a well-crafted, oh, they played that so well. They leaked it through Biden, and then, oh, political genius. Now this is a misstep, Rob, that he just kind of accidentally said something?
It's strange, because I think, like...
It's strange.
Maybe it's strange, all right. I mean, I think people I guess when I'm lefting it up with my lefty friends and we're having tea and sticking our pinkies out, that's what we do. Like, I don't think we really think of people not actually creating businesses. Like, I don't, it just doesn't quite resonate. It does resonate with the idea. Like, I do quibble with this idea that wealthy people in the nation have somehow all pulled themselves up by their bootstraps and created businesses and created jobs and created opportunity for others on their way to the top. I got all kinds of problems with that. But I don't really think if you made your business, hey, hat tip to you, good for you.
Who said you have to create opportunities for others?
You don't.
You don't.
Right, but they get but in the Republican fantasy world, that's what they are given credit for. For example, let's pick the presumptive Republican nominee for president. His job, as we discussed last episode, was not to create jobs. His goal was not to create jobs and opportunity for others. His job was to play capital to make more capital for himself. Good for him. I don't fault it at all. But I wouldn't call him a job creator. I'd call him a capital shifter.
Okay.
I don't fault him for it.
And I understand. Yes, they're trying to play that as he knows how to create jobs. I get that. I'm not saying that's right. But what you just said before was every wealthy person has pulled themselves up by the bootstraps, has been a job creator, or create opportunity for others. That's not a requirement.
Right, and I agree. I agree, but I think... I'll give you a little story. I'll tell you. Let's go to story time. Story time with Rob. So, you know, we're bopping around in the car looking at Christmas lights because it's holiday season. Put some holiday music on, go around with the family and look at Christmas lights. Well, it turns out these rich people, they can put up some Christmas lights. And I don't think it's them. I don't think old Edgar Williams IV, is up there on the ladder putting up the Christmas lights. So, but hey, their houses look nice, so we'll go look at their Christmas lights. And of course, as we're looking at Edgar's large house, you know, a familiar feeling of envy washes over us. And a family member said, "Wow, they must really work hard to get all that." And
this is tired. We've talked about this before.
All right. Maybe we have talked about it. But
we have. Did they work hard or were they just lucky?
No, it's not just are they lucky. It's just that they just have money. I don't think it's luck. I'm not saying it's luck. Or they could have been born into wealth. But I'm just saying that okay, they have wealth. There's no correlation to how hard one works. No correlation between wealth and how hard one works.
Well,
it's not sinking in.
Dead horse.
I will take my...
All right, what are you getting at?
What were we talking about?
Exactly. What does Christmas lights have to do with...
I got distracted with story time.
Because they can afford to pay somebody to put up lights, or whether they really do like Christmas and do it. You're driving by looking at it for free, getting entertainment, so what do you care? Envy washes over you. This envy washes over you. And
doesn't it? Look at the size of that place.
Great. Okay, so go out and do something about it in this land that we've all paid for you to
yes.
make it so easy for you to do something about it. Why aren't you? Well, you must be lazy. or maybe it's not as easy. And the whole, if you go way back, I think the framers of the Constitution were envisioning to create a place for opportunity.
Right.
That was the point. Let's create something where there's opportunity and let people do whatever they can. Not trample on them, not take them to task for doing what people are meant to do within the framework of the Constitution.
Yeah.
Now that we got the train back on the tracks, let's derail it once again. I mean, do you think that that we still live in a land of that opportunity?
We do more than other lands, maybe. I haven't tried to start a business, so I don't know. But I've talked to people who have, and it's not easy. And this kind of attitude doesn't help it. The kind of attitude that was conveyed in that speech does not help it, in my opinion.
Mm.
Well, getting back to what you asked about earlier, Rob, whether Obama got carried away, you know, with his comments because he was in front of a receptive crowd. I'll concede that's possible, but I have a hard time believing that because I compare this now to his Joe the Plumber moment in the first campaign.
Right. Yeah. I guess.
That was by no means a receptive audience, and he made not exactly the same comments, but something in a similar vein about, you know, spreading the wealth around.
Right.
Which, you know, is just
classic
socialism, and it's, you know, it's why it's so easy to paint him with that brush, because he does keep making these comments.
Yes. Yeah. Right. I'm not saying there's nothing there. I'm not saying there's no there. One of my favorite phrases. But, I mean, I think he truly believes that a country with a more equal blob of middle classness in the middle is a healthier country than a country that has more large wealth and more large poverty and a smaller middle class. And I think he's willing to use the tools of government to smooth that out.
Well, I don't disagree that that's probably true, but you can't gerrymander that. You can't legislate that. You can't deliberately try to cause that. It just has to happen on its own. Otherwise, it's not, you know, if it's not natural, if it hasn't occurred with natural market forces, then it's not going to last.
Right. I can understand all the downfalls of that approach. I think saying that someone who built a business didn't, like the direct quote is, if you've got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen. Well, I don't think he's, I mean, that's a little,
yeah.
I mean, that's even a little far for him. Right. But I think he will subscribe to the Elizabeth Warren quote that we discussed in a few episodes ago.
Right.
I'm not saying that he's not of that camp. I'm saying that particular quote.
Right.
May have gotten himself carried away. And I think the spread the wealth around, the only real sin that he made when he spoke with Joe the Plumber was to use such a kind of a canned phrase of spread the wealth.
Right.
You know, if he would have made the exact same statement to Joe the Plumber that said, hey, I think your life and everybody in this community's life would be better if everybody's life was better, much less just your own. If he made that exact same point, I don't think there would have been any controversy because everybody knows that's where he stands.
Yeah.
But he used the three-word quote, spread the wealth, and that's what did him in.
He might as well have just quoted Marx.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go on the record as saying this was his Joe the Plumber moment for this campaign, although it has not, you know, been picked up by the media like the last time. I mean, the last time it seemed like it was everywhere. It didn't matter whether, you know, regardless of the news source, whether it was liberal or conservative, everybody was reporting on that one.
That is true.
Yeah.
The other piece of this now is apparently you can call into question where I saw this or my sources, but Romney released an attack ad that is a direct quote of this. And the Obama camp is saying he didn't say that. That's not true. That's, you know, Romney's making up stuff. That's a false ad.
That's right. It wasn't.
But it's a direct quote. They used Obama's video. They used the video of him making the speech.
That wasn't him.
No. Yeah, he's like Dennis Rodman. That wasn't me, baby.
It was an Obama impersonator.
Silliness.
We're a little bit in the political silly time now. You know, I think it's like we haven't really gotten to the conventions yet. We're not even sniffing a debate. So this is kind of the kind of dance around the ring phase.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of silly time. You know, ooh, he said this in a speech and I'll go, you know, put out this ad, whatever it is. We're not really directly engaging right now. So we're going to talk about tax returns and whatever else.
I have not been too impressed with the Romney campaign at this point. I would expect them to be, I don't know, to come out swinging, you know, instead of just dancing around the issues and, It just seems like they've been playing defense a lot.
Well, I think I think their plan is to just not suck. They think the economy is going to be so bad that they'll just take a safe looking milquetoast white bread conservative alternative.
Yeah.
I don't think they're really trying to attack. And I think the more they define themselves, the more they set themselves up for trouble. So I think they're just laying back, trying not to suck.
Yeah, it could be. They're too, they're going to do something, do some damage. So instead, we'll do nothing.
Right, right. Because if you're going to attack on healthcare, you're going to get some Romney care. If you're going to attack kind of exotic personality, well, Romney's kind of an exotic personality. Are you going to attack on out of touch Obama? Well, Romney's a little out of touch.
Right.
You know, so I think they can't really find a foothold, so they're just trying to be the not mistake guy.
Yeah. And the one thing that he has been able to stand on, the whole, his whole business background has become a little shakier in the last week. So, they've got him off balance right now, and this would have been an excellent thing to come back swinging with, though. And I haven't seen it.
Right, right. And I heard on some political show somewhere that the Beltway insiders think he's running with the B team for whatever reason. And it's an interesting question, too. I don't know what you guys think, but, in 2000, old W was out there charging around doing his thing. And the knock on him was that he was too much of a doofus and a little inexperienced, so they got the Cheney VP thing in there,
right?
As kind of to kind of bolster his kind of credentials as kind of a serious politician, I guess, which did the trick. And then with Cheney, you got Rumsfeld, you got all the old crowd from the Republican establishment. But who does Romney really have on his side? That's what I don't quite get. Say he wins. Oh God, be still my beating heart. But say he wins. Who's gonna jump in there? Does he really have the Republican establishment behind him? Like, are we gonna see all the Bush operatives in there? Because I don't think so.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, they were holding McCain at arm's length, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't imagine they're going to welcome Romney into the fold.
Right. So where is the Republican Party? Where are these leaders? Like, is Karl Rove going to come out of the woodwork and support, the office of Romney? Or is it going to be a brand new kind of Romney crazy time in there with a bunch of people we don't know?
Probably.
Is it going to be a bunch of Bain Capital types? Are we going to have
some dude from Bain Capital on Obama's advisory board? His advisors.
How about that?
Yeah.
I just don't know. It's like
I don't know if you get just strictly Bain Capital.
It's kind of like when Cheney signed up with as the VP president, I think that pretty much signaled to the electorate that the inner sanctum of the White House is going to be your old friends that you remember from before.
Yeah.
But I don't know who are these Romney old friends. I mean, who is it going to be?
Right.
But do they really want the old guard in there? I don't know that you do.
Yeah, so it's like he's running as kind of, I mean, he's a very establishment kind of guy. He's the establishment candidate with no establishment.
Yeah, true. Well, I don't know that he's the establishment guy. He's the not Obama, right?
But he was the establishment candidate in the primary. I think the establishment threw their support behind him because they didn't want Herman Cain.
Well, yeah.
Why not? Why didn't they want Herman Cain?
He was he's emerged as the king of all losers, right?
Right.
So.
But he's ready to win for us. They should put that on a campaign poster.
What, king of all losers?
That's right. But ready to win now.
All right, so what other stories we got to talk about? What else has been in the news? You guys got anything?
Ooh, I just had something here. Where'd it go? Evidently, I don't.
Okay. I put a couple of links in the reading room that our listeners might find interesting. One of the headlines is the current heat wave caused by global cooling?
Ooh.
Which I thought was kind of interesting. And they're basically saying that this dome of hot air that has settled in over North America.
Washington. Oh, sorry. Thought you were going to say something else.
It's altered the path of the jet stream. And so it's not only is it bringing hot air from, you know, the south, but it's also bringing cold air from the north down into areas that don't normally have that much cold air. And it's also increasing the amount of moisture in the upper atmosphere, and that's falling as snow in Siberia, which is increasing the snow albedo, which is reflecting more heat out into space and having a cooling effect.
I have a low albedo.
Marriage will do that to you. I didn't see that article. Where?
Okay. But wait. I think you're skipping the point here. Was the point of the article, which I'll never read, was it that even global cooling was man-made, or just a natural cycle of the Earth? Because I think even your Al Gores of the world will agree that some things will get colder and hotter. And the whole point is whether the human activities are causing such a thing.
Yeah, it says as global temperatures have warmed and as Arctic sea ice has melted over the past 2.5 decades, more moisture has become available to fall as snow over the continents. So the snow cover across Siberia in the fall has steadily increased. Sun's energy reflects off the bright white snow and escapes back out to space. As a result, the temperature cools. When snow cover is more abundant in Siberia, it creates an unusually large dome of cold air next to the mountains, and this amplifies the standing waves in the atmosphere, just as a bigger rock in a stream increases the size of the waves of water flowing by. The increased wave energy in the air spreads both horizontally around the northern hemisphere and vertically up into the stratosphere and down toward the Earth's surface. In response, the jet stream, instead of flowing predominantly west to east, meanders more north and south.
So it's not like they're avoiding, which is fine, because otherwise nobody would listen to their little article. Because once they said, because of man-made ice caps melting, oh, geez,
yeah.
Here we go again.
How does this, and you had a link there about the last 12 months being the warmest on record.
Yeah.
Is that right? At the end of this article, they say that there's been no statistically significant warming since 1995. How?
Yeah, well, That seems like conflicting statistics, right?
Yeah. I don't know enough about it to say what the difference is.
But if you're going to say that the planet is warmed, you have to define a period over which that warming has occurred, right?
Right.
So they're saying from 95 to present, there hasn't been that much. But I guess if you go from 1895 to the present, the trend is obvious. That's when you get the hockey stick, right?
I thought the hockey stick was a prediction.
Well,
it was a prediction of how warming is going to happen. It's suddenly going to take off. That's what I thought that was. I might be wrong, but
I
saw another one that said it was an investigation of tree rings, and back in Roman times, the planet was a lot warmer than it is now, but somebody said, oh, okay, there's evidence that, you know, this is just a natural cycle, but then the authors of that study were saying, whoa, don't try to hijack our study, that's not what this says. And so there's just study after study,
yeah,
and they keep contradicting, and I don't think, and they're trying to find an answer as to are we warming or are we cooling or what's going on, when the focus should be on sustainable, non-polluting energy,
yeah,
and instead of
You sound very green when you talk like that.
Well, I have tendencies like that, but I get hacked off when they're hijacked by clowns like Al Gore, and he bastardizes them to make money instead of some meaningful goal of clean, renewable energy.
Well, I think anybody could get behind that, you know, especially when you say, oh, by the way, it's cheaper, so you're going to save money.
Yeah.
That, you know, that's a pretty easy sell for anybody, regardless of your political leanings. The problem comes in when somebody wants to use the cudgel of government to enforce that, you know, and say, you're not allowed to buy that car because it doesn't get good enough gas mileage, you know.
Yes.
So we're going to ban that car, and you're going to have to buy this crappy car over here instead because it gets much better mileage.
Even though it catches on fire every now and then.
Yeah.
Chevy Volt.
It crumples up like a shopping cart when you crash into something.
Oh, my goodness.
So another story I came across, headline here. Should whales and dolphins have human rights? Their lawyers say yes.
I have two questions, or maybe comments. I didn't read the article, but one, no, they shouldn't have human rights because they aren't human. Two, they shouldn't have lawyers. Why do they have lawyers? And if those lawyers want to commune with them, why don't they go live with them under the sea?
Yeah, you don't have a lawyer.
Yeah, I don't have a lawyer. Who's paying for these lawyers? Is it pro bono? What the hell?
It is pro bono. this guy is named Stephen Wise. He's an attorney. He founded the Non-Human Rights Project in 2007.
What an idiot.
The Non-Human Rights Project. Come on, that's great.
Keep going.
So he's written a series of books. The first two, Rattling the Cage and Drawing the Line, made a case for giving legal rights to chimpanzees and bonobos and considering other animals on a species-by-species basis. Followed these works with a book called Though the Heavens May Fall, which is an account of the 1772 trial of James Somerset, the first black human recognized as a person under British law. So the trajectory here is there was a time when we considered non-white humans as being something less than human, as being things, you know, possessions. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of how we view animals now, as things. And so what he is pushing for is that, you know, certain species of animals be granted full person status under the law, that we consider them persons rather than things. And he's making the case that we should start with cetaceans, or, you know, dolphins, whales, that whole family of animals, because of, you know, the scientific evidence that has been piling up over the last, I don't know, couple of decades, showing that, you know, these animals are highly intelligent. Their social structures are as sophisticated as anything humans have come up with. They use language. They, you know, their brains are even larger as compared to their body size than humans. There's just, you know, there's this whole litany of reasons why. If you, one of the lines in the story, they make the case that it, you know, if you were shown a dolphin's brain, you know, and you were just studying that brain from a neuroanatomical standpoint.
Nice word.
You would think that brain came from a person. You know, that the brain is just as sophisticated as a human brain.
Okay. So what rights do they need? What rights have they asked for? Because that's where I would differentiate the
well, that's
from the 1772
exactly.
case. That guy may have been asking for rights.
Yeah, yeah.
No dolphin has knocked on my door.
Right, and I'm with you on that. You know, this lawyer obviously is going to play the Lorax and speak for the trees, or speak for the whales in this case. So, I don't know. I mean, I could see this going places, though. Maybe not immediately, but in the future, I could see attorneys willing to stand up on behalf of our fine feathered friends and, you know, make the case that they should be persons.
I mean, I still don't. I guess I just need to read the article, but I don't understand what rights they're trying to give them.
Yeah, well, that's not.
Or liberties, I should say.
Yeah, well, they don't elaborate on that in the story. They say the first step to that, though, is to get them recognized legally as persons rather than things. So, whatever rights you think an animal should have, you can't get there from here. The first step is, you know, having them declared as a person. So, so there you go.
Well, corporation, GE is a person too.
Yeah, you're right. And that obviously opened a Pandora's box that we are still dealing with today. I guess I'll throw a link in here to a documentary called The Corporation, which goes into detail about, you know, how that all originated with the 14th Amendment. And again, a group of lawyers stood up and said that corporations should be recognized as legal persons, should have all the rights of a person. And
because somebody paid them to.
Right.
Not because it's the right thing to do.
We see where that's gotten us.
You're so reasonable, Jeremy.
Shocking, isn't it?
It is.
Well, it's a good thing we've solved all the other problems in the world, and we can now focus on the animals.
So what are you trying to say, man?
I'm saying, what the hell?
Yeah. I'm with you, I think. I have some issues with this. But
I guess.
But at the same time, I can kind of see it. I don't believe that we should mistreat animals, that we should treat them inhumanely. But
I agree, you don't mistreat them.
I'm not willing to make the leap to, you know, they're persons. They have all the rights of people.
Right, and then we're gonna get quiet hours in water like we have, or in the open ocean like we have in a neighborhood. Well, the whales might be sleeping now. You know, you can't drive your boat over.
Yeah.
I want out.
Stop the planet. I want to.
And I'm sure there are plenty of people who might want me out. So,
not you, just your kind.
Actually, that was a little arrogant of me to say that I even matter that much that people want me out. So I'll retract that statement.
Yeah, people would want something for you.
So I tweeted to Mitt Romney this week from our account, and
oh great. Whoa, knock on the door for the Secret Service.
I asked him if he wanted some cheese with his hypocrisy.
And sent
a link to this this story that's in the show notes. It says, flashback, Romney challenged Kennedy to release tax returns. Will Romney release his own? And so this just documents when Romney was running for the Massachusetts Senate against Ted Kennedy. It was a similar situation. Ted Kennedy was refusing to release any of his tax returns. And so the Romney campaign was beating on them to do that. And now the shoe is on the other foot.
I think that's one of my least favorite things, the do as I say, not as I do hypocrisy of politics. And I see this, obviously, in the case you just pointed out. I also see it with Obama calling on Romney to release his tax returns, yet Obama will not release his college transcripts. You can make an argument, well, one's more relevant than the other, but to me it's in the same light, and just really have no use for that kind of hypocrisy.
He won't release his transcripts? I didn't hear such things.
You haven't heard that?
No. I don't know.
You haven't heard that he won't release his college transcripts.
Are you clutching the pearls?
I am. I did take an F in music theory as a junior. I'd like to fess up to that now because I think it's better to get that out of the way. Actually, it wasn't music theory. It was ear training. I failed ear training as a junior. I'd like to apologize to all my supporters for that failing. Since then, I've been working on my ear training and passed it, and I passed the next class as well. So I think that's behind me now. I hope the voters can put that behind me.
I'm sure they can.
Okay. I understand why you're making fun of it, because there is a valid argument. Is it relevant? Why do we need to know what the president did in college? But two things there. It's another piece of information that why is he choosing not to release it? Why is it hidden? I had to release mine when I got my job. Everybody else who works at this company where I work has to do the same. And nobody at this company, well, not at our level, is running a nation.
Right. Well, I think...
that you know of.
Yeah. Well, that's why I said at this level, because there might be some higher up who can pull a few strings.
And I think possibly what I'm satirizing there was the idea that what the Romney defense is that whatever he releases, they're going to pick apart and make a case out of, whatever it is. So if I was running for president, they'd be like, do you really want a president who failed ear training? You know, you could just see the ads. Right. So it doesn't matter how silly it is. You know the Democrats are going to poke over it. So the idea is for regular voter Joe like me, I kind of want to know what's in there. Why is he hiding it? But even if there's absolutely nothing to hide, I know the campaign's going to pick it apart anyway.
Right.
So I see his defense as a valid defense.
All right. Well, we're going to take a little break here. When we come back, we'll jump into some listener feedback. So stay with us. Feedback from listeners that have not sent us feedback before, so this is fun. One of our listeners had some comments about the format of the show itself. Specifically, they said the podcast should be much shorter and to the point. 30 to 45 minute range is optimal for attention and listener retention. Okay.
So, I would just like to say Adam Carolla does an hour and a half, and I model my life after him. So,
and at this point, we've done 45 minutes in the show.
All right, we're done.
Well,
bye now.
And we're done. So, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that, because it doesn't seem like we can really cover the things we want to cover in that short a time frame, but maybe we'll give it a shot.
Well, if we were focused on the things we wanted to
cover. Yeah, that's true. We do ramble a lot.
So. Yeah. If we were knowledgeable, that would help also.
It's part of the charm.
True. This listener also said, one last thought. I'd rather hear you present or discuss topics than discuss the right, left wing, or how you think they think, or criticism of how you think they function. I am an individual listening, not a whole movement or political party. I may align myself conservatively, but not in the way that Rob describes. I don't affiliate myself with a particular party. I may tend to vote for more of one party, but I don't call myself a member of any party. And my religious views definitely impact my thoughts, too. Okay. So there you go.
Noted. And forgotten.
Yeah, we haven't had a lot of feedback from our our evangelicals out there, because we've kind of discussed those topics before and haven't had a whole lot of response, so that's good. I think there's an inherent danger there in mixing religion and politics, but I also respect people whose religious beliefs kind of inform their politics. I'm not sure that it's appropriate in every situation, but I don't know.
I think we've intentionally avoided some issues because you can hear pros and cons of healthcare debates and or immigration policies. Actually, immigration being an interesting one. We should hit that one again. But
yeah. Well, we shouldn't feel like there are any taboos on this show. We can talk about anything
here. Let it fly, baby.
That's right. We had a comment on our Facebook page from listener Chuck, and this was in response to the picture I posted of President Obama talking to the Wright brothers at Kitty Hawk, saying, "You didn't build that."
It was pretty good. It's a pretty good looking Photoshop there.
Yeah. And Chuck said, "The man is disgraceful, period."
That's all we get.
Yeah.
There's a well thought out, cogent argument. I am down with that. Amen to Chuck.
So thanks, Chuck. We appreciate it. Listener Eric had this to say: "Rob mentioned a few times about infant mortality being a problem. I'm not sure where that statement came from. If you look here," and he provides a link, "it shows that the U.S. is currently 34th on the list. Yes, I wish we were higher. But check out the difference from 1950 to today." And it goes from 30 deaths per 1,000 live births to 7. "Still pretty impressive. In 1950, we would have ranked 10th. But dropping in the list is not the same as saying infant mortality has become worse in the U.S. I remember you saying that, and I don't know. You were just kind of on a roll. That was
well. When I was saying that, I was picturing Eric thinking.
So it's like,
over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no.
German? Forget it. He's rolling.
Germans? Forget it. He's rolling.
Forget it. He's rolling.
I remember when I said that, I pictured Eric in my head, who I had not met at that time. And I was thinking, oh, this stat has got to be wrong. But I think Eric will agree that my point holds, that maybe if we think of a dollar spent per person for health gained, we're not doing so well.
Yeah.
Whatever stat you use for health. But maybe that's because we like Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Taco Bell.
Eric says about the "no conservatives have suggested raising taxes" statement. Actually, there's the comments I've heard about the 47% who don't pay any income taxes. And I think Herman Cain's 999 proposal, for example, would have raised taxes on the 47%.
See how well he did?
I don't think Cain was like promoting that as a tax increase, right, as much as it was more bringing some equity to the existing tax code, right?
Yeah, I think
but
a good assessment.
In the reality of whoever ran the numbers after he proposed that, there were some people, lower income people, as I recall, that would have had their taxes increased as a result. So, but yeah, in the end, look what happened to him. He's an also-ran.
But you just wait 4 years, buddy.
Interesting, though, and I'll have to put a link to this, too. The Planet Money podcast that I listen to.
Oh, yeah.
Did you check that out at all this week?
No, I don't listen to it, but I'm a big fan of the people on there.
Yeah. They got together a sort of dream team of economists from both ends of the political spectrum, and threw a libertarian in there for good measure. And I had them come up with a list of things that they would change immediately about the economy, you know, if they were given the power to do so. And the criteria was they had to come up with this list of things that they all agreed on, right? There had to be consensus from all of them. And then they put together this fictitious presidential candidate who was running on this platform based on these six things. And, you know, they're all just miserable for a candidate because, you know, some of them involved raising taxes. Some of them, you know, one of them was getting rid of the mortgage interest deduction on your taxes.
Oh.
And, you know, so it was just... It was kind of funny because they had this actor playing the president up in front of a crowd, and that was the first thing he said, and I'm going to get rid of the mortgage interest deduction. But then it's just like crickets, you know. So it was pretty good.
What else did they agree that should be done?
Well, the one I found most interesting was they all agreed we should eliminate the income tax.
All right.
And
why?
Because it's illegal.
Property taxes?
Yeah, because of the effect it has on, you know, because of the economic law that says if you tax something, you get less of it. So taxing income means people are going to work to hide their income or move it overseas or, you know, do all of those things. And by eliminating it and going to, you know, something else, a consumption tax is what they propose, you know, you'd simplify things and you'd actually increase revenues. So the other one that I found interesting was legalized drugs. So
who's this candidate there? Can we write him in? Can we?
Yeah. So I'll put a link to that episode in the show notes for anybody that wants to listen to it. It was pretty interesting. Eric goes on to say the warmest 12 months on record thing. Jerry mentioned that he'd expect to hear this more often if we were really experiencing global warming. I think you just need to look in the right place. The warmest 12-month period you mentioned just eclipsed the previous record, which was, wait for it, last month. In fact, of all of the 12 warmest 12-month periods have been since 2000.
Interesting. Just a natural cycle.
And he provides a link to that as well, so I'll put that in the show notes. So, yeah, the discussion rages on over climate change or whatever we're calling it this week. Jeremy?
I'm digesting what is presented here. One of the things I'm keying on is the phrase, I think you just need to look in the right place. When things are obvious, it seems like you don't always have to look very hard for them.
Yeah.
When things are just the bare factual, this is how it is.
Yeah.
You don't really need to look in the right place. You just need to look.
Yeah, because the right place implies some things, right?
Yes.
That there's data in multiple places, but only some of it is correct.
Right.
Which is certainly true. You know, it is.
Yeah, and that's why I'm not railing on this yet. But this is saying that doesn't this imply that every month since 2000 has been warmer than previous?
Yes, I think that's
okay. And I mean, I've seen other things that don't say that. I'm quite certain. I'll try to find a link, but
okay.
Didn't your article, the one you read, the one you had the link in the reading room, it contradicted that, didn't it?
They said this year is not even that unusual.
Feels unusual.
Due to unseasonably cool weather in Asia, this is only the 10th warmest on record, and they have a link to. Despite recent headlines claiming hottest year on record, this year is only the 10th hottest on record.
Right, and here's the Arctic has shivered through an unusually cool summer, is poised for an early freeze-up.
Yeah, those headlines referred only to the contiguous U.S., which is about 1.5% of our planet's surface.
Yeah, but it's the most awesome 1.5%.
Most important.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair that, you know, the headlines, he's right, the headlines have been referring to, you know, temperatures here in the U.S. And as we know, weather is not climate, right?
Right. So if you're referring to weather or in the U.S., then it's not global warming. It's U.S. warming.
Yeah. Right.
And U.S. spells us.
That's right.
All right. I think we might be done here.
I think we saved the world enough today.
Yeah, probably. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We appreciate it. And keep those comments coming. We obviously love discussing them, so keep them coming. And we will see you next time.
Good night.
Bye now.
If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. You didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hardworking people out there. If you were successful, somebody along the line gave you some help. There was a great teacher somewhere in your life. Somebody helped to create this unbelievable American system that we had that allowed you to thrive. Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.